Listen again to the words from St. Paul to the Philippians, our second reading. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Have no anxiety at all. The ongoing reality of COVID and the cascading effects on every aspect of our lives, this in addition to deep divisions in our society, our nation, our church, the threat of terrorism, and now murder hornets on the other side of the Cascades, and so much more. Yet we hear the words of St. Paul. The real world we live in, then and now, is not always safe. And cries to defund the police will only make things worse, especially in poor urban areas. Yet the truth is, there are many. Some of you here this morning who have many worries and serious concerns. And St. Paul's letter then provides a prescription for this anxiety. And everything he writes by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Note the prescribed steps. First, prayer and petition. Second, thanksgiving. And then third, make your requests known to God. Take these three steps and what can we expect? Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We've heard this before, but have we tried to apply this, these words, these instructions on our lives? First, prayer and petition. The question is, do we pray? Do you pray? Do you set aside some time each day for prayer? Now, with the responsibilities of raising families, especially younger families, or work or health, the few moments you're able to spend in prayer provide tremendous grace. For those of us who have our lives as priests or bishops, God expects us to spend far more time in prayer because we don't have those immediate responsibilities you do with your family. But nonetheless, the question is, do you pray? Do you understand prayer in a broader and a far wider sense than I want this or I need that? Do you ever think of prayer as just being with, thinking about, listening to a loving God who knows you, who loves you, who cares for you, and in His providence holds your destiny in His hands the way so many of you hold your babies, your grandchildren, in your own hands? Do you ever think of prayer as letting go, as just trusting, letting you fall into the arms of God and trusting yourself to His loving providence? Yes, Paul says prayer and petition. It is okay to ask, to plead, to make your petition known, and certainly to enlist the intercession of the angels and saints, especially our Blessed Mother, who always leads us closer to her Son. Ask God for safety and security for your loved ones, for the grace, especially those who maybe have fallen away from the practice of their faith. Ask God to guide us in how we vote and to protect our nation. Listen to the words of the Eucharistic prayer for unity, which we pray, and we have a specific intention for the Church of Eastern Washington. Ask God to lead us in our country to a path of peace, and for the grace for families to seek paths of holiness, to raise a new generation of young men and women who will be the priests and the religious sisters and brothers who, God willing, will build the kingdom of God to assist you and your children and grandchildren. Ask, and never tire of asking, but in so doing, let yourselves be drawn to God in a trusting relationship. Trust Him enough to make all of your prayers conditional prayers, that is, condition on God's will. Not my will, but your will be done, O Lord. Or, Lord, if only this is your will for me, then let me have this. But conclude with this simple prayer. Your will, my peace. The second step in St. Paul's prescription for the anxious is thanksgiving. He says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Ingratitude will get you nowhere. Begin every prayer with a word of gratitude. Gratitude is the foundation, the root of all religious experience. After all, the word Eucharist is the Greek word meaning thanksgiving. Gratitude also leads to a sense of moral obligation. A phrase that we often don't hear much, perhaps somewhat in the South still, is the phrase much obliged. It's an expression of saying thanks, but sadly, when you thank someone, they will say something like not a problem or no worries. But when we say thank you to God, when we express our gratitude to Him, which should be a daily occurrence in all of our lives, we are declaring essentially much obliged. Much obliged to continue to give thanks, to make our lives an ongoing expression of gratitude, and to do good for others, because there's so many good things that have come our way in God's providence. Solanus Casey, the great Capuchin, who has relatives in our diocese, spoke about the need to thank God before we receive what we ask for, a reminder to trust in His providence. But finally, St. Paul speaks about somewhat a repetition of the first. Yet make your requests known to God. Maybe sometimes you might wonder, does God even care? He does. And the scriptures remind of this. Recall the other passages from the Gospels. As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will your Father give good things to those who ask Him? So when you and I take seriously these three steps, then what? Well, Paul assures us, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Who could ask for anything more? The prescription against anxiety is a formula for balance in our lives. The Christian character is a balanced character, and the balanced life is peaceful. And that is the life that God wants us all to enjoy. Now, it doesn't mean we won't have difficulties, and some of you do carry great responsibility and worries. But God is with us. Those words of Jesus before He ascended to heaven, know that I'm with you to the end of the age. A final thought. In October in the United States, it is Respect Life Month. And you and I are called to be grateful for the gift of life that is ours. To have the profoundest respect for life whenever we encounter it. And the Church, guided by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom gained over the centuries, teaches us to respect life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death, and to do nothing that will harm or attack innocent human life. Some argue that the Church is preoccupied with abortion, with protecting the unborn, and they say once a baby's born, you never care and offer anything. But that is not true. Even within our diocese, in fact, the Diocese of Washington State, we have preparers which assist mothers with their newborn children and guides fathers in the ability to be responsible. And there's so much more. If there's any institution on earth that for the last 20 centuries has looked after the poor, the sick, the orphan, the hungry, the uneducated, those afflicted with cancer, homeless, addicts, the refugee, even when unpopular, it is our Catholic Church. And this massive commitment to the works of mercy is not just here in the United States, it's around the world. The emphasis on the unborn, on children, is still a major threat. To disregard life at its most vulnerable, when you can't see it or tickle it or touch it at the beginning, is certainly the start of a dehumanizing and trivialization of all human life. And that is why the Church today, despite the attempts of certain bishops at the last meeting in Baltimore in the fall, tried to change the wording of a document on voting. The phrase is, it is the preeminent moral issue, and this was affirmed when the bishops of the United States met with Pope Francis in our ad limina meetings in February. There are a number of moral issues: the care of the poor, the refugee, capital punishment, care for God's creation. They are all important, And in the area of the dignity and the sanctity of life, the Catholic Church often stands alone as the voice of the unborn. Just as the Church spoke out for the dignity of lepers, the disabled, the orphans of the past. Important to remember, an election year when the Catholic faith of judges and Supreme Court nominees, the Knights of Columbus, and the Little Sisters of the Poor have been targeted and attacked. In the office of the readings today, this morning, there was a reading from St. Gregory the Great, who lived in the late 6th and early 7th centuries. And these words struck me. He wrote, "Pastors who lack foresight hesitate to say openly what is right because they fear losing the favor of people. As the voice of truth tells us, such leaders are not zealous pastors who protect their flocks. Rather, they are like mercenaries who flee by taking refuge in silence when the wolf appears." He continues, "To advance against the foe involves a bold resistance to the powers of this world in defense of the flock. To stand fast in battle on the day of the Lord means to oppose the wicked enemy out of love for what is right." As your bishop, then, out of love for what is right, the wider issue is not only what is happening to the unborn, but it was what is happening to us. God gave us a beautiful world in which we can come to grow in his image and to know him. The crown of this vineyard, to use an image from the first reading in the gospel, is human life. If this portion is ravaged, it will be from neglect. That is why you and I must not only express gratitude to God for our very lives, but also choose some dimension to human life, whether it is working with the aged or the disabled, the unborn, the refugee, the prisoner, the poor. Make that the area of special concern, our way of serving the Lord and of caring for his vineyard that he's entrusted each one of us. Now, none of us can do everything, but we can all do something to restore respect for human life. And then following the words of Paul, brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.